there, folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, assistant professor of theology here at the university and the director of the Concordia Bible Institute. We are making our way through what I've been calling the top 40 texts, and on the docket today is number 7 already, Exodus chapter 12, which, as usual, means I've skipped ahead just a little bit. Yes, I know that the last time was Exodus 3, the burning bush, and so this skips over the plagues and so on, but this is just how this goes, and this is a doozy. I think you get a sense. So yeah, if you've seen the movies or whatever the case, Moses goes with his brother Aaron to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Cue up the music. Pharaoh says, "No, I don't know you or your God, so, and by the way, you're working harder," and so on. You get plague after plague after plague. Some of these plagues directly, I think, kind of showing the Egyptians who's the ultimate god. So, for example, the plague of darkness. Egyptians have a sun god, and so on. And so it gets to the point where 10th plague, death of the firstborn. And so the text here is, how do we avoid that? Again, this is big for, I said this last time with the burning bush, I think, and that is, what are we learning about God as a deliverer of his people? Of all the ways to deliver his people, why not just do that? And here we have how he's going to do that with his people Israel, how they're going to avoid death of the firstborn and so on. Probably familiar, but man, it's one of my favorites, actually, I think, Exodus 12. But nonetheless, so the pericope, the passage that I selected for this one, for my students and so on, Exodus 12, verses 1 to 14, just in case you're wondering. This is also the Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday in some circles. So it reads as follows. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." Alrighty, so there we have the text of Exodus chapter 12. Again, one of my favorites here. You get the sense of Aaron's involvement. Last time it was just Moses. Now the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. I suppose you could say that both prophet and priest, so Aaron's like the first high priest of Israel. Moses is like a prophet unlike any other. So here's this thing, though. The Lord now speaks to Moses quite a bit. the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron. Something, you kind of rev this up a notch. Both prophet and priest are involved in this Passover lamb. Boy, does that sound like something we'll see in the New Testament. Our high priest, who is a prophet greater than Moses, very much involved in being the Passover lamb, our sacrifice in the midst of and for the sake of our own slavery in the land of Egypt. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. No, it's not. that's the thing about it. Is like, is this the first month of the... No, this is not the first month of the history of the world. It's not the beginning of months. But it's the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year from you. This is so important. What is happening on this night is so important that it is going to shape time. It's going to shape your calendars. It will order your days, your weeks. Let everything on your calendar revolve around this meal. Order your days and your deeds around this. This brings about a brand new calendar, a brand new month, a brand new you. This meal is that significant. It's actually, you know, some of the rabbis said the Bible actually starts here. On this point, at least, they were on to something, I think, and that is because they recognize the significance of what the Lord was giving. That was just kind of a, this is like a, it's like a creation. It's a new creation, this meal. So significant. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house as a lamb for a household. Lots to say here. First of all, the Lord's not telling them himself. He's telling them through Moses and Aaron. Again, this kind of speaking through, if he wants to talk to his people, he speaks through people to talk to his people. Doesn't change there, by the way. The Lord continues to proclaim his word through people we call pastors. And this 10th day is kind of an interesting detail. There are other significant, the Day of Atonement's also on the 10th day. It's an interesting detail, isn't it? Because they're taking this on the 10th day. I'll have more to say about that in a minute. Every man take a lamb according to their father's house. So this is, why not just one lamb for everybody? And where are they going to get these lambs, by the way? Have you ever wondered about that? They're slaves right now. They don't have any cash. The Lord speaks, though, as if it'll be fine. Take a lamb per household. Like, I will provide in ways that you can't see right now. Take a lamb per household. This is a very, oh man, I love the emphasis on the household. They could do one lamb. But it's a lamb per household, a very familial meal right here. This meal will shape time. It will also shape what a family is. You'll have brothers and sisters in this meal that are closer than your blood brothers and sisters. If the household's too small, take according to the numbers of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for a lamb. That is so important. That the ultimate measuring rod for how much lamb is what you can eat. Eating is the standard, the measure that's being used here. That is central. The fact that this is consumed is the ultimate. It doesn't matter. Why not just like one lamb per 10 people, one lamb per 12? Make it really easy on the math. But this lamb is given for eating. And that's central here. Eat, you notice how many times the word eat is mentioned this as I read that. Everybody needs to be eating of this. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. Does that sound familiar? No blemish at all. No sin, no stain, no spot or wrinkle. A male, year old, prime of his life. That's the other thing, too. Oh, man, we looked forever, and we finally found a lamb, but it was a female, and it was 3 years old, and it was, you know, or 6 months old and had a broken foot or whatever. Everybody's got to have a – this is just an amazing – the Lord will provide. We heard that with Abraham as well. You're going to keep this lamb until the 14th day. Now, that's where I was going to come back to this 10th day thing. Have you thought about that? You ever eaten? Have you heard this, about this, how this eating takes place? Why not just kill it right away? As soon as you find that lamb, well, you don't want the lamb to break its foot or something while it's running around your backyard. So we better take care of business right now. No, keep it for 4 days. Take it on the 10th day, but don't slaughter it until the 14th day. Now, why not just do the thing? Can you imagine what effect that has on the people, first of all? Where's that lamb? What's the lamb up to? Is the lamb okay? Our attention is on the lamb. Our focus is on the lamb. We think about the lamb when we're up at night, when we're eating breakfast, when we're going about our day. Is the lamb? Where's the lamb? We need that lamb. The lamb is huge. Our eldest life depends on the lamb. Is the lamb central in our thinking and our thoughts, our deeds, our actions? This lamb is crucial for us, for our lives. Lives are at stake. Where's the lamb? How can we have that lamb, take care of that lamb's presence in our life, and so on? This is such a bit. All eyes are on that lamb. Kind of reminds me of the Abe Isaac thing again, doesn't it? Don't sacrifice him right away. Do it on the third day. Oh my, Abe at 2 a.m. What's he thinking about? Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel. That's the other thing too. This is a very communal aspect as well. It is familial, but it is also communal. It goes to the whole assembly. This is a very communal affair, binding people together across families. One big family, you might say. And they kill their lambs at twilight, at dark, the time of death. Take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. So I suppose you could put this blood on the living room wall. But no, not there, not on the roof. That'd be exterior. You can see that, right? But on the doorpost, this is how you enter the place. How do I enter this family? How do I enter this community, this deepest sense of community that I will ever have in my life? How do I enter that? Through this door, marked with blood. It's through this blood, through the blood of the one who is the door. You might say, I am the door, I am the gate, no one enters except by me, I am the way. So those lintel, you know, that also, you know, the top, left, and right sounds quite a lot like the sign of a cross, looks like it, you might say. Top, left, right, blood on those, two doorposts and the lintel. In which they eat it. Again, the eating that took place here is brought to you by the blood that is a witness. So that's the other thing, too. It's on the outside. People are going to see this from the outside. The witness factor is in this blood. That is the testimony. There are three that testify: the spirit, the water, and the blood. The blood testifies. Let the blood speak. Let the blood bear witness. What are you guys all about as Christians? Christ crucified, the blood that was poured out, our Passover lamb who was sacrificed, the meal that he gives us. That's what we're after. Let people, bring them to church. Let them just watch the sacrament of the altar. Let them think about that. Let them contemplate the entrance, the door with blood on it, blood that's being given out every Sunday. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread, bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not let any of it do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head, its legs, and its inner parts. Let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. Now, this is awesome, too. Eat the flesh that night, roasted with fire. We have seen the significance of fire, haven't we? What is fire for in the Bible? My goodness, think back to the burning bush. God's presence. God's presence. Yes, a consuming fire of judgment, but also purifying and so on, purging sin. Okay, so God's presence. Why is it so important? You ever wondered about that? Why it's so important for this lamb to come in contact with all this fire? I want the fire of my presence. Don't boil this. Don't eat any of it raw, but roast it. Its head, its legs, its inner part. The fire is to come in contact with its head, its legs, and even inward parts. Let the fire of my presence be in, with, and under this lamb. Does it sound familiar? Let my presence, bodily presence, in, with, and under this bread. In, with, and under this wine given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Fascinating stuff. Don't let any of it remain until the morning. Don't be dilly-dally with this. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn, completely consumed. It's a good practice, I think. Consumption after the sacrament. Let that be consumed. This is not something to be willy-nilly about, irreverent, and so on. Goes way back, as testified to here in the Passover. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be right back with the rest of our study of Exodus chapter 12.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin, is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcast, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Exodus chapter 12. Fun stuff here, just very rich on how the Lord is a deliverer of his people, of all the ways to do this. Lots of details. Sometimes my students tell me that there's a lot of details in here. Man, if you messed up one thing, you know, why so strict on the number of prescriptions and all of these things? The Lord has a very specific, when he delivers his people, can't he just snap his fingers? But he's, all these details ultimately are so reverently treated because they all bear witness, point forward to, are fulfilled in Christ our Passover Lamb who has been sacrificed. So every detail here is in that light, in the light of the one who is the light of the world. These are all eternally significant, which is part of the reason why we do what we do here at the Bible Institute. Luther also, Christ in Every Word. You can get that there as well. We left off with the fire of God's presence, this fire roasting it. In this verse 11, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, this is the other thing, too. Not only how you treat the lamb and what you're doing to it and so on, but also the manner of your eating is also very important. Your belt fastened, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. The kind of stuff that you would do for a journey, for a pilgrimage, some walking around, journeying. This is what this meal equips you for. The significance of being ready. You got to eat in haste. There's no time. The time is right now, by the way. That's the thing about eating in haste. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time is now. Repent and believe. So eat it in haste. Make haste to eat this. And in the eating of this meal that the Lord has for us, we are equipped for the journey ahead. We have strength for the coming week. We've got this preparation about ourselves for whatever it is that we're going to face. Even the devil himself, the temptations, weaknesses of the flesh, and so on. We are, by this meal, made ready for the journey ahead. It's a kind of guarantee that in this meal, with this meal, we are fully equipped for our journey. They used to call the first Christians the followers of the way. They're on this way. This entire life is but a pilgrimage. We're strangers here. Heaven is our home. And it's this meal that equips for the journey in a way that nothing else will. Belt fastened, sandals, staff. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I'll strike the firstborn. Why the death of the firstborn, by the way? Why just the firstborn? I'm going to strike half of all the families. I'm going to strike the oldest daughter, the youngest daughter. I'm going to strike the firstborn. Of all the plagues that Moses had, man, flies and gnats and all these nasty things, right? Hail. Oh, man, I was running the other day. I got hit in the shoulder with a big old hail ball. It was not fun. That's what happens when I there's like a low chance of rain, and all of a sudden this storm comes through. And anyway, what am I talking about? Pharaoh had all these plagues against him. And yet, if it was going to be the case that it was the 10th one that finally does the trick, why not just go to the 10th right away and spare all the time? But I guess the question I'm most interested in here is why ultimately this plague is the one that works. God as a deliverer of his people, death has to take place in order for there to be new life for his people. The death of the firstborn, the death of a beloved son would have to take place before his people get new life. God could have just delivered with a snap of the fingers, right? No, a death of the firstborn, beloved firstborn, a beloved son would have to take place first for all of us to get new life. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. That's a fascinating thing, too, in the context of this meal. Like, even the gods, even the false gods, are judged in the Lord's giving of this meal. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. The Lord could just give his, you know, he gives his word, he gives his promise. He also gives a sign attached to it. I love that physical, tangible sign. The Lord is here speaking his word and giving his promise of deliverance, but he also gives a physical, tangible sign of that reality that he's speaking of. And that is also something. Did you see this twist here? The blood shall be a sign for you. So who's looking at the blood? You're looking at the blood. It's a sign for you. Who else is looking at the blood? Well, anybody on the outside. It's on the doorpost, the exterior of the home. Anybody walking by, the Egyptians, sometimes my students are the Egyptians seeing this? And, you know, fires at night, it would lit up. What are they doing down there? Other people are seeing this. You're seeing this. Who else is looking at this? when I see the blood, I'm pretty sure you know what's in my heart, and I'm a believer and all these things. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everybody's looking at the blood, the outsider, the insider. God himself is looking at the blood. God himself, in Jeremiah and other prophets, is quoting himself, studying his own word, you might even say, fixing his eyes on that blood as well. When I see the blood, I will, don't you know who I am and what I've done? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everybody's focused on this blood. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. With this blood, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it is, at the end of the day, no evil, no plague will be able to surpass what that is doing for you. Nothing, not even demons, anything in all of creation, height, depth, can separate you from what that blood is doing for you. That's why this is such an important meal. This is the Lord's Passover, not our Passover, not our meal. It's the Lord's Supper. We do well to title that and to keep that language current, the Lord's Supper. It's not our supper. It's his supper. And this is a feast. This day shall be for you Memorial Day. Notice how we go from month all the way down to the day. This day shall be for you a memorial day. This is huge. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. The emphasis on all of this, again, this eating, this meal, this feasting. I want this lamb to be consumed by you. On the one hand, you might think, yeah, a lot of instructions here and details and specifics. But on the other, the Lord has a Passover lamb for us. And from his perspective, this is how earnest he desires to be with you. How deeply he longs to dwell in you, to reside in you, to make his home in you, you might say, Gospel of John. This is how he wants to dwell with you. And so when you see that this will be a feast forever, no problem, because we have a Passover lamb who was sacrificed, who continues to distribute this meal through his servants throughout the world, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, a feast that continues even today, fulfilled in our Passover lamb and continues throughout the generations. Uniting a family of all times and places, angels, archangels, all the company of heaven, until that feast reaches its culmination in the marriage feast between the Lamb and his kingdom that has no end. It's great stuff. Passover. Exodus 12, so that's one of the top 40s. I think this just pays dividends for how the Lord delivers, what he gives, the significance of its rich testimony to the person and work of Christ. I think that's a good place to call it, but please consider mentioning this to your family and friends. Invite others to tune in so that they can learn more about God's Word with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on our contribute page. Be sure to also check out the Celesca Endowment, which is a wonderful way to support future pastors. Until next time, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman, wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord.